Scott Petrak of the Chronicle-Telegram is here to talk about the Browns draft and your take on it, Scott. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, sure thing. What's going on?
Well, that's what I'm going to ask you. What's going on with the Browns? I know we know of, you know, all morning long it's been in the news. We got ourselves a quarterback. We got a defensive back. But your take on all of this?
Yeah, I think it was a surprise. You know, there's so much build up to the draft and so many scenarios played out. And for the Browns to come over with Baker Mayfield at number one and Denzel Ward at number four, I'm not sure anybody had that combination in their mock draft. So I think people are still trying to wrap their heads around it. And it starts with Baker Mayfield. He's a Heisman Trophy winner, highly productive at Oklahoma, but he's barely over 6 feet tall. There were other seemingly more sensible quarterback options there. And I think it was just a big surprise that of all the picks in the draft, at number one, new general manager John Dorsey takes Baker Mayfield.
So what do you think is behind that? You know, one of the things, Scott, that I heard a couple of announcers last night, and I watched the first couple of picks because I stayed up late, was that there's some analogies being drawn between Baker Mayfield and Johnny Manziel, which, of course, was, a bitter pill to swallow.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people inside the NFL have tried to dismiss those comparisons. I'm not sure you can do that so easily. You know, they're both short. I think Baker is more accurate than Johnny. Maybe his arm's a little stronger, but I'm not sure it's much stronger. I think Johnny was a better athlete. You know, he ran better than Baker, who's not a particularly great athlete, even though he relied on his mobility some at Oklahoma. You know, off the field, Baker did have an arrest for trying to flee the police, you know, public intoxication. He got tackled. He pleaded guilty to a couple minor charges. You know, but it's unfair to say he's going to have the same issues that Johnny had. Johnny was plagued by off-the-field troubles and substance abuse issues for his 2 years with the Browns. I think they took him because they thought he played the best in college, and I think the concern is that that doesn't always translate to the NFL. You know, you have to project some, and for me, it's easier to project a guy that's better physically, taller, like a Sam Darnold, who also won games in college at USC. You know, but the Browns, John Dorsey and Hugh Jackson kept going back to the fact that he won games, that he's accurate, and they do like his, I don't know if character's right, the right word, they like his personality. They feel like he's a leader. He has a giant chip on his shoulder, and they think that's going to translate to success.
Wow, that is interesting. You know, I just keep hearkening back to the Browns passing on Ben Roethlisberger, but that is ancient, ancient history. What they need, though, and give me your take on this, is a leader in the locker room, somebody that the team can rally around and look up to and say, hey, this guy is going to take us places. Do you think that Baker Mayfield is that guy?
Well, you know, that's one of the million-dollar questions. The Browns do. You know, I mean, Hugh Jackson, the coach, called Baker a Pied Piper at Oklahoma. You know, his teammates seem to love him. It seems genuine, that love for him. But you just have to question whether or not it translates to the NFL. And you get a guy, and like Baker's 23, but, you know, there's older guys in the locker room. You know, does his act play with 30-year-olds, 32-year-olds, especially if he's not on the field and he's still the center of attention? He's still got this big personality, this big ego, which he does. And it kind of dominates the locker room, even though he hasn't done anything yet. So I think that's something that bears watching. But the Browns are confident that it will translate, and he will become the leader they're looking for. Now, they do have Tyrod Taylor, a veteran who is still expected to be the starter at quarterback week one. But you never know how that can change, because everybody assumed Baker was the most ready of these draft quarterbacks. And if he's ready, he's 23. You know, I don't know how long he sits on the bench, especially with his makeup, which is not to sit behind anybody.
Yeah, it's a walk-on. We're talking to Scott Petrak of the Chronicle-Telegram about the Browns draft. Craig, you've got a question for Scott.
Well, Scott, as we head into training camp eventually, do you think the story will be we've got a new quarterback in Tyrod Taylor, or looky there, there's Baker Mayfield? What do you think as a reporter?
Well, I've done this long enough, and I've covered enough quarterback competitions, even if Hugh Jackson insists this won't be one, that the focus is going to be on Baker Mayfield, at least for the beginning of training camp and through the preseason. Now, if Tyrod Taylor holds down the job and plays well and looks like the guy that won games in Buffalo, then that'll die, you know, that'll die at the beginning of the season. But if they go 0-3, it'll pick right back up again. So, and you know, it's just way too soon. I know Hugh Jackson says Tyrod's the guy, and John Dorsey said, I like my rookie quarterbacks to sit and watch. But it wasn't that long ago when Russell Wilson got drafted in Seattle. They had signed Matt Flynn as a free agent quarterback, paid him a bunch of money, and Russell Wilson came in and won the job. So I think anybody, you know, writing in pen that Tyrod Taylor is going to be the starter week one needs to reconsider, because a lot can happen between now and September, whatever, 6th or 9th.
We have another round on tap tonight. Any idea what the Browns might do with those picks?
Yeah, they have two rounds tonight. The Browns only have the picks in the second round, but they have number 33, 35, and 64. You know, a lot of good players still left at 33 and 35. A lot of needs the Browns have to fill. I would expect them to look at left tackle, a guy that can possibly come in and replace Joe Thomas. You know, they didn't take a pass rusher at number four. They took the cornerback Denzel Ward instead of the pass rusher Bradley Chubb. So Boston College's Harold Landry is available. I think you have to keep an eye on him. Cortland Sutton, a receiver from SMU, would add size, and I think the Browns need another receiver. And then running back. They already have a couple, but they've been linked to guys throughout the draft, and there's a couple of good running backs left. Darius Geis from LSU and Ronald Jones from USC. So I'd be watching out for those handful of guys.
Last night, were there any surprises? A player that fell more than you might have thought, or a team that perhaps overdrafted somebody?
Well, I mean, I think the Browns are surprises, first of all. I think Baker at one and Denzel Ward ahead of Bradley Chubb were surprises, which is why the Browns are receiving some criticism throughout the league. And then that Harold Landry I mentioned, every mock draft had him going high. Some people thought he might be the second pass rusher taken, and for him to fall out of the first round, I know I saw a tweet last night that there's some medical concerns which could have contributed to the fall. And then Lamar Jackson, the Louisville quarterback, I thought he was going to go in the top half of the first round. I thought some team was going to fall in love with his potential because he's an incredible athlete with a good arm. He's just a little bit raw. And he went all the way down to 32, and Baltimore traded back into the first round to get him. So for me, that might have been the biggest surprise of all, after Baker.
Hey, Scott, what is your take on Denzel Ward, the second pick? What's he going to do for the Browns, who have won one game in the last 35?
Yeah, well, it's a lot to put on him to change that by himself. But I think it's a solid pick. He was considered the best pure cornerback in the draft. Minkah Fitzpatrick from Alabama is a defensive back who's more kind of a safety nickelback mix. And then Denzel's a guy you can line up outside, put on the number one receiver, and say, go shut him down. He's really fast, ran a 4.3 40 at the combine, tied for the best time at the combine. I'm a little bit undersized. He's a shade under 5'11". So, you know, that can be an issue on jump balls with bigger receivers. But they needed a cornerback. The Browns felt that was a strong need, more than pass rusher, and they thought number four wasn't too high to take him. I think, you know, people around the league thought he was more a bottom half of the top 10. So maybe it's a tiny reach, but not a ton. And you love speed. John Dorsey, the GM, loves speed in the secondary, and he changed out that position. He signed three guys in free agency, and then he drafted one with the number four pick, so he obviously thought it was a huge weakness on the team that he inherited.
Okay, Scott. Well, Scott Petrick of the Chronicle-Telegram, a man who knows all about football sports, for that matter, I should say. But, Scott, you want to make a prediction on who the Browns are going to take tonight? You want to throw it out there?
Sure. Let's go with left tackle Connor Williams at number 33, and then Cortland Sutton, a receiver, at number 35.
All right. Craig is writing all of this down, and so we're
good.
Going to...
Hold me to it.
Yeah, we're gonna. Well, we'll find out. Well, you know, no one can say that maybe your pick might be better than the front office's pick. Only time will tell, and that's something that we're looking forward to. Scott, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Scott Petrick of the Chronicle-Telegram on the Browns draft. Thanks for staying staying on top of all of this, Scott.
Thanks, guys.